Now, All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome in. It's our favorite day of the week. It's Ollie Marmol Tuesday on the Gashouse Gang. The Cardinals manager is with us every Tuesday. Ollie with Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji. Tom Ackerman with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I need to get a little hat like Bernie has on right now.
Yeah, look at that.
Hey, Ollie. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something about it since you mentioned it? Seriously.
Absolutely.
You know whose hat this is? Rick Hummel.
Is that his?
Commish. Wow. I knew that for a fact. Yeah. Yes.
I wear it every now and then because I keep it at a place where I can see it. His wife offered me the hat after his passing, and I remember this hat so well. I said, yeah, I got to have that. I have to. So
I
thanks for noticing.
I took it off of his head one time and threw it on during during a scrum in my office. So I can recognize a commish hat when I see one.
That is so good. You
That's
had a,
right.
awesome.
You had a great relationship with Kamish, as we all did. And
yeah, he's a good dude, man. I loved just the conversations with him. He was so good, especially my first year. I'd come in and getting ripped from different angles for a move or what happens during a season, right? You make a bullpen move, it doesn't work, and then you have to answer for it. And he would come in once everybody was gone. He'd peek his head into my office. You got a minute? Yeah, and he'd sit down. And he was awesome about just talking through the game. And there's times he would text me late at night. It'd be 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting here rewatching the game at the house and just kind of going through. And he would send a random text. It's like, didn't work out. It was the right move. Go to sleep. but he was great, man. And it was, you can just have honest conversations with him. And if you jack something up, you know what, if I could do that again, Commissioner, here's what I would actually do. And you can have that type of back and forth with them. But I absolutely loved it.
Oh man, I miss him so much. We a lot of early mornings together at spring training. We were the first two in the office, and we would sit there and just talk and have the best time. I miss him so much. I think he would have loved the Skip Schumacher shirt that you were wearing. You know, you make the game fun, Ollie, with the tarps off and everything that's happened at the ballpark, and that was fun. I mean, and the relationship between you two came out right there with all of that yesterday.
I love that dude. He is I just have a really good relationship with him, and I enjoyed having him as the bench coach there in 22 for so many reasons. He's easy to talk to. He knows the game. You can have a back and forth. He's not always going to agree. He does it respectfully. But just enjoying setting the game up, and it was just, I loved it. But off the field, man, he's such a good person. So we've been able to do a lot of things off the field together and Bible study and different stuff, man. But this is a dude that I respect a ton for what he's done on the field, but I respect him way more for the things off the field and the type of husband, father, you name it. He's a real dude. And, I love when he comes into town or we get to go to Texas and spend a little bit of time together.
Ollie, good news, bad news thing. You know, since May the 1st, your pitching staff's got the 9th best ERA in the majors. Your starters have the 10th best. They have a 44% quality start rate, which is like in the top 5 in the majors.
Yeah.
Your bullpen's 2.93, 9th best in the majors. Okay. Because I wanted to put that out there. yeah. I was going to say, because I don't want to be accused of being negative. No, seriously, dude, the offense since May the 1st, you've averaged 3.4 runs. Your slugging's way down. Your walk rate's way down. 2 runs or less in 14 of your last 27 games. I mean, what do you do? What do you identify? In other words, you guys did so many things so well in the first month.
Yes.
Have you identified some things that maybe you have gotten away from and that you need to kind of fasten down and get back to what you were doing in April?
I'd like to walk more. And I don't say that just because of the result of walking, more so what happens when we are walking more. We're more selective. We're more honed in on just swinging when we can do a little bit more damage and not just putting balls in place, chasing. Yesterday was a tough day with some of the strikeouts. And we just have to be a club that actually controls the strike zone really, really well. We have to have a pesky at bat. We have to be tough in the box. And we've I don't want to say gotten away from that as much as just we're being pitched in a way where some of these young dudes are going to have to make an adjustment, and that's just part of it. You don't want it all happening at the same time, but you're not in control of that. I mean, it from 162 games, it's going to happen where you go through a low like this, but how quickly can we get out of it? It's going to be important. Like we have to flip the script here really soon. And certain pieces in that lineup start to make adjustments. But I would like to see us control the strike zone a little better, take our walks, because when we're doing that, we end up being a really good offense. Yes, you'll walk more, but you end up swinging at more pitches where you can actually do what you want with them. We're not doing that at a high level right now. You just pointed out several stats that are great examples of that. But yeah, that's what comes to mind.
Just a follow up. You know, one of the pressing issues for all offenses is when you have opportunities, you got to cash in. That's been a struggle for your guys this year. Last night, even. Yeah, I mean, you had two guys on in the first inning, second inning, fourth inning, couldn't get anybody in. That's been a persistent issue. But I want to ask you about something, because this has always been a debate within baseball. I remember Mike Matheny and I used to pleasantly debate this. Is hitting well with runners in scoring position, is that a special skill, or is that just part of hitting? And that, you know, you shouldn't attach like any particular value to like, our guys are great with runners in scoring position. Is it just the natural course of taking at bats?
No, I think there's a certain approach that goes along with runners in scoring position where it becomes somewhat of a skill. So it's, for me, it's individualized, where if a guy comes up that's just struggling in general over the last 3 weeks and he comes up with a runner scoring position, like you expect them to all of a sudden be a better hitter. Like that's not how this works, right? So certain guys aren't in a good spot, whether there's a guy on second or nobody on. But there is a certain approach, because you understand what a pitcher does well with nobody on and what he likes to go to. And then as soon as there's something on the line, kind of what he likes to do and what his tendencies are and what he's comfortable going to. And you have to stay relaxed enough and to execute upon that. So that is part of that is a skill, in my opinion. With where we're at as a club at the moment, there's certain guys, regardless of where the runner's at or if anybody's on, they're just having a tough time taking a productive at bat based on either approach or movement or a combination of both. But yeah, I do believe in there's certain guys that do a better job of, once there's a runner on second, staying within themselves, understanding what the game's calling for, and then committing to that. That to me is a skill in itself.
You brought up breaking.
I'm curious.
Out of it.
Do you agree or disagree with that being a skill in itself, Mern?
No. I really do believe the way you explained it makes perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Because here's what I used to say when I would even debate this with other writers and analysts, and say, well, it's not a skill. It's just good hitters will get hits and bad hitters won't, type thing. I said, well, I think a lot has to do with the quality of at bat. I mean, I think when you're in a big spot and a lot's on the line, I think the quality of the at-bat you take is absolutely a factor. And I think we should never disregard that.
Yeah. So, I'm with you. I agree.
That's the whole conversation about clutch and whether or not it actually exists, or if a guy's just a good hitter, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you were talking, Ollie, a moment ago about breaking out of it, and you're talking about the offense, I bring up this guy because he went through it once already this season, a short stretch where it didn't look quite right, and that was Jordan Walker. And he appears to be in the middle of that again, at least over the last couple of weeks. So what are you seeing from him right now? What is he not doing now that he was doing a couple of weeks ago, and then at the very, very beginning of the season when he also looked right?
Yeah, I think that's just part of a season, if I'm being quite honest. I mean, if we were to sit here and I think we all are very in tune with our own players in St. Louis. But if you were to sit and watch a full season of a Judge or something, like they go through stretches. I remember we went to play New York and Wells was sitting behind Judge. And there was a time where we debated pitching to Judge because of how hot Wells was and how much Aaron was struggling at the time. When you're in tune with your own players, I think it's magnified that much more. But that's just part of 162, man. You're going to have a week or two stretch where that's just the case and you come across some good pitching or not even good pitching, but you put some balls in play that don't go your way and you kind of spiral a little bit and you have 2 weeks where it's unproductive. But I just think that's part of a season. We're just more in tune with our own guys. But every player goes through exactly what you just described.
Like when it comes to Gorman, we've talked about this. And,
yeah.
You know, I talked to Haim about it on Sunday, and he said, look, I mean, we recognize what's going on. It's about not necessarily, like, just taking him out. I mean, somebody's got to take his job is also part of it. There's in so many words, there's competition.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know? And that's worded probably best. And I'll stick with that because it's along those same lines. It's someone has to be able to take that and run with it. And that's just not currently the case. I really do believe that Gorman's going to come out of this. And that's not just words. Like, he's working hard. He's committed. He's got the right mindset. This is a guy, here's what I'll say about him. When he's going well, there's not a whole lot of energy and this like excitement coming, like just oozing out of him. And when it's going well, people tend to say, man, he's just even keel regardless of what's going on. When it's not going well, it's easy to pile up on him and say, man, he's low energy. It looks like he doesn't care. No, like that's just his personality, regardless of if he's hit two homers that game or he's punched out four times. So you have to stay like just clear minded as to like what he is when he's good, when he's not good, his personality, and set that aside and just watch the performance. Right now, he's in a tough stretch, man. And I feel terrible for what's happening to him right now based on the amount of work he's putting in. And I am hopeful and committed to the fact like this guy is going to figure out a way to get out of this because we need him to hit homers. We need him to slug. Like, we need certain guys like Walker and Gorman like to actually slug the baseball. So as of right now, he's back in there tonight. And some people may hate that. Guess what? He's going to play third tonight. He's going to be in the lineup. And I hope today's the day where he hits a double and a homer and starts to feel good about where he's at because we need that type of slug in our lineup. Until someone shows up and is taking that from him, that's what it's going to look like.
How do you know in a case like that when it's we've just got to roll with this guy and let him know we believe in him versus it just isn't working and we have to do something different?
Yeah, and this is the part in spring training we talked a decent amount about where there's going to be given opportunity and you're balancing opportunity and also competing on a day-to-day basis. Like, this is a perfect example of it where it's easy to pull the plug and try something different, but no one's knocking on the door that hard to take that at the moment. So he's back in there tonight. And I really do hope, man, based on even talking to him last night, post, like I really hope today's a better day for him and we can start to build off of it.
You guys made some roster moves, obviously, Friday, and not to review them in any great detail, but do you think Jimmy Crooks getting in there and Nelson Velasquez, certainly against lefty pitchers, is this something that you have confidence that it will kind of deepen your lineup, stretch that lineup out? What do you think the potential is there?
Yeah, we made the move based on that being our hope, right? You get Jimmy down there taking a better at bat. He's done a really nice job defensively in AAA. He's put up some numbers offensively. He's cut down on the strikeouts. So we felt like from a timing standpoint, it made sense. And he can kind of be in that eight spot for us and see what he's capable of doing. Torres being in there kind of helps as well. He makes a lot of contact, takes a good at bat, takes a walk. And then Velasquez, we just when you look at having a lefty lane in our lineup and the opposition looking at like, all right, we can run a lefty through here all the way through JJ. It is a little bit more of a threat when you have more than one bullet in Fermin to fire there, right? Like Velasquez actually is a little bit more of a threat, can drive the baseball out of the ballpark, and you have to think twice about, man, they could take two shots at this. So it allows for a little bit more strategy. So I like having Velasquez on the club, not only to start against left-handers, but to come off the bench against lefties as well.
Go ahead, Matt, and play. I want to go back to Gorman real quick because I kind of summarized what Haim said. Here's exactly what Haim said, just so our listeners and fans understand that both of you are on the same page on this. Here's Haim.
He's in the middle of a tough stretch right now. You know, whether being out in front of the changeup, being a little behind on the fastball, the proverbial in-between, So, you know, we need to help him get out of that. You obviously want, like I've said this a few times, we've talked about it. You want there to be natural competition, right? You want guys to push each other for opportunity because we are only allowed to put nine of them out there at once. And so you want that competition to come from within. What we don't want to have happening is that we ever throw up our hands and say, you know, we got to give up on this guy. That's not the approach we're going to take in this organization.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Blaze Jordan's playing third base. Like, we get all that. Joshua Baez is playing well. He said, we got Baez on our radar. We've got Jordan on our radar. They're paying attention to what's happening down there at that level. Just like with Crooks, Ollie, there was a process in where you felt comfortable that he was ready to move up.
No doubt. And here's what I'll say. Off day that we just had wasn't an off day. We spent a lot of time discussing roster and moves and recapping who's doing what in AAA, what that progression looks like, when we think they've checked enough boxes to come up here and compete. It's one thing to put up numbers down there. It's another thing to understand under the hood what's truly happening and to what level we think it'll play up here, not only offensively but defensively. So we spent a lot of time on our roster, AAA roster, and looking at not only that, but when you look at Lars coming back, Church coming back, Urias coming back, the dates we're projecting those individuals to be back in our starting lineup. And I will say Haim is very thoughtful, very, very thoughtful as to what that needs to look like and the order in which that's going to take place, and then how some of these other names that aren't here get integrated into this roster at some point. So there's a reason we did Velasquez when we did him. There's a reason we did Crooks when we did him. There, we have a really good idea of what the next 3 weeks look like if everything goes according to plan and we stay healthy. So I like the thought process that's in place right now with Haim and our staff and the ability to speak into it and make sure that we land on what we believe is the best case scenario. So, yes, we know who's down there. We know what they're doing.
Now, back to All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol is with us on the Gas House Gang. With Bernie Miklas, I'm Tom Ackerman. Here's Chris Raunchy.
Yeah, and so, Bernie, we'll get to Bernie in a second here. We are talking with Oliver Marmol, and Ollie, we mentioned a lot about the offense here and how it has been struggling lately anyway. But as Bernie mentioned, the pitching staff is on the opposite end of that. You have been getting good starts. Matthew Liberatore, Michael McGreevy, you have been getting some good starting pitching here lately. Do you believe that we are just getting to a place where these guys have figured it out? Is this just a stretch? What do you think is going on right now?
As soon as you feel like you have it figured out in this game, it will humble you. So no, we haven't figured out anything. We're working hard towards making progress, and I think we're definitely growing in the right direction. When you look at Libby and Palante, like these guys, the swing and miss has been better. They're utilizing their stuff a little better. The curveball has been a big pitch for both of them. They're landing it at a higher rate. Palante is getting ahead. I mean, I think he's leading our rotation with first pitch strikes. And if you would have asked anybody at the beginning of the year that he would be leading the rotation in that category, I don't think anyone would have said that'd be the case, right? But that's what's helping him, is just getting ahead of hitters and then allowing his stuff to play and then pitching to good locations once he gets to two strikes. And Libby being able to land that curveball has been a big one for him. Early in count, stealing strikes with it and then killing with it with two strikes underneath the zone. So I feel like we're using our stuff better, but having it figured out, far from having it figured out, man. I do believe we're making progress and we need to continue to make progress. But what Dobbins did the other night was very helpful because we matched up from the third inning, fourth inning, two nights before, and really unloaded our bullpen and we were able to take that game, thankfully, against Chicago. So that was great, but it puts extra stress on that pen. So for Dobbins to come in and do what he did and finish the game without our pen having to touch baseball, allows us to go into this series, do what we need to do, and then go into that off day. So that was huge as well.
Ali, I want to go back something because I always find these things really, really interesting, sort of the dynamic between the manager and the coaches and the front office. And I know that you and Chaim Bloom obviously have a very great relationship. But I want to ask you this, particular this roster move with the catcher, because we all know, just based on conversations you have with us on Game Wax, your immense respect for Pedro Páez and the value that you believe he brings to the pitching staff. And the running game, throwing out runners. So how hard was that for you when this subject was broached? How hard was that for you to kind of accept or embrace a move that would undoubtedly lead to less playing time for Pedro Páez? Does Chaim Bloom, is he the type of leader that welcomes pushback on that? If there's pushback on anything, does he want honest feelings for you to challenge things? And just give us an idea of how it worked in this case.
Absolutely. He welcomes that. He actually gets mad if you don't push back, which I absolutely love. But that's been a conversation for about 3 weeks as far as when to do it and how to play this out. And the hard part was telling Pozo, to be quite honest with you, because this is a guy everyone enjoys having in the clubhouse. He brings a lot of energy and just that free spirit that you enjoy being around. Petey conversation, I had the conversation with him prior to making the move for him to understand kind of the direction this is going and his part in this. And his response was incredible as far as just, man, I'm here. This is going to make us better. I get it. I'm here to help the kid as much as possible. Like, I'll be ready when you call on me, but I'm also here to make sure we all get better. So I love the way he responded to that, because that's not an easy conversation for him either. But with Chaim specifically, man, like, this is something that the two of us, we included Descalzo and Dusty in the conversation when we wanted to do it. And it was in the works for a couple weeks as far as when we thought it would make the most sense. And it was in conjunction with getting Velasquez here so that you're not missing the right-handed bat off the bench in Pozo when we were going to do it all together. But yeah, he wants that pushback. He wants to make sure we talk things through to the point where you're somewhat exhausted at the end of it going, okay, I think we've talked through every option and this makes sense. But I like that. I like being able to talk things through to the very end to make sure that no one's missing anything. And when I mentioned that off day, man, there's a lot of conversation about our roster, things that have not taken place yet that will at some point, and certain options that we're considering. But I love being able to do that because you're thinking through every possible scenario.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Bern.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, just a really quick follow-up. Sorry. Is it a challenge for you to keep all three catchers involved in terms of playing time? Jimmy Crooks, you have the outlet at DH, and I'm sure that helps. But how are you going to be able to kind of just manage the playing time in a way where these guys all keep busy enough?
Yeah, we've been very clear as to what that's going to look like. So there's not this friction of like, man, how do I get them in there enough where it doesn't become an issue. Like, we've been very clear as to what the playing time is going to look like. PD will be ready, and I like the defensive nature of what he brings to the table, because when Crooks in there, there's going to be that lefty lane at the bottom with Torres, Crooks, and all the way through Scott, and they're going to bring lefties through there where you're going to have to pinch hit Velasquez potentially at Crooks. But then you have a defensive-minded catcher coming in to finish the game in Páez, so it gives you that optionality there. So he understands what his place is coming off the bench and how he's going to be used there defensively. And also making sure that we stick to what we've done all year that's allowed Herrera to stay healthy with the back-to-backs, like not doing that too often. We've yet to do it. We'll have to at some point, but limiting the amount of times you do that, where let's say Herrera has Palante, but the next day it's a lefty starter and you don't want Crooks in there behind the plate. Well, Páez could take that that day, like we did the other day with Libby. So it gives us the flexibility to manage health, but also optimize the lineup in a way that makes sense.
Páez was the catcher when Dustin May took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Dustin May, over his last nine starts, has allowed only three home runs and has an ERA of 3.02 during that time. And this guy is moving. Is he not, Ollie? He's your starter tonight.
Yeah, he's done a nice job, man. It's we keep mentioning like, oh, after those two starts, but he's been really good. And getting us into that sixth inning and being able to complete that inning, like he's done a really nice job, and he's pitching with a heck of a lot of confidence right now. He's feeling better than ever, and we're getting a super healthy version of him right now. And I like the way he competes. He brings that fire that's just fun to watch, and it gets the infielders and the players behind him into the game in a way that is just, I like that style of baseball. So I'm excited to see him on the bump today. He did a really nice job for us going into the eighth with no hits in Milwaukee. So yeah, I'm pumped to see him tonight.
I know you got to take off here soon, but question I have for you is on the broadcast on Sunday night, Anthony Rizzo was part of the broadcast on NBC, and he mentioned the story about the house.
What did he say? I didn't rewatch this.
So do you want to, we could play it for you and you can hear exactly what he said.
Let's do it. I got time.
What happened between you and Ollie Marmol involving an extra inning game?
Well, he used to be their first base coach a number of years ago before he got the managerial job, and him and I were just talking, and I was saying how we were going to win. He said they were going to come back and walk us off, and I said, I'll buy you a house if that's the case. And sure enough, later in that game, they walked us off, and he's just looking at me. And till this day, he said, where's my house? He would send me Zillow listings every time we played each other. They'd be in my locker, so I do owe Ollie a house still.
Okay, so do you plan to collect on that house?
Listen, man, he's rich. I think he should pay up. But no, he's such a good dude. And the specifics on it, before the game started, I would always go over to first base. He'd shake my hand. How's everything going? Ask about the family. Like, he's such a good human. And he said, what do you got for me today? And I said, we're going to walk you off in the 14th inning. Was the exact comment. We're going to walk you off in 14. He goes, no way. And the way it played out, and I'd love to go back and look at the box score, because we tie it up at some point, maybe the ninth.
May 6th of 2018.
Do you have the box score
open?
Yes,
yeah.
What inning and extra innings did they score a run or two?
The Cubs scored one run in the 14th. You scored two runs in the bottom. Yep.
There you go. Yeah, so in the 14th, they score a run. I run out there, and he looks at me, gives me the, like, you're done, you know? And we walk him off in 14. And I remember when we did, he did not look at the ball in play. It was somewhere in the outfield. He just looked directly at me like, you got to be kidding me. So I had Mark Walsh, our clubhouse manager, put a Zillow listing. It was like a $7 million house on his chair the next day. So, yeah.
That is so good.
Very good.
That's a great, great look into the rivalry. It can be a lot of fun between you all. Really appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you for the time. Good luck tonight against Skip Schumacher and the Rangers.
No doubt.
And thanks for joining us on the Gas House Gang.
All right. Take care, guys.
Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, every Tuesday.
Bernie Nicklaus on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bago Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Gas House Gang on KMOX with Bernie Nicklaus, Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Always a treat to have these gentlemen here, and Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol, of course, giving us his time as the Cardinals take on the Rangers tonight. The Cardinals in the mix in the NL Central. But Bernie, I mean, you know, you look at it, they have some work to do. I think that's the approach that we just heard from Ollie. I mean, he was first to say, he said it before you did, the offense has some work to do. And I think that is something that bears watching here. They tried to tweak it a little bit. They brought in Velazquez. He bombed one out first pitch he saw. They're bringing in Jimmy Crooks. There are some additions. I am intrigued with the whole, I'm going to get your thoughts on Baez and your thoughts on Blaze Jordan, for that matter, as they wait in the wings. How far away are we from that? Or is it Nootbaar first, and then we start to see those guys?
Yeah, I off the air, I asked Ollie about Nootbaar because I was curious. I'm not going to put him on the spot in terms of like, well, when you guys going to activate him, because that's really Bloom's decision. But I do think it's obviously going to be really soon, maybe this weekend. But I think Ollie's hope is that he'll be full go. My question about Nootbaar, is this a situation where, you know, they'll ease him in because he's missed so much time? They'll be a little cautious at first. Ollie's hoping that, you know, it can be just about full go, although in the very early days that he's back, they will be careful. They don't want to go bananas here. And I see people, in my business, and again, people that I think do a great job, and I respect the heck out of them, but I see people talk, kind of toying with projected lineups when Newt gets back, and I see him slotted in at center field, and I'm kind of like, no way. He is not going to be in center field unless they have no choice, say, late in a ball game. And let's just say that that pretty much checks out with what I thought, because I don't think the club has any desire to put Lars Nootbaar in center field, because number one, he's probably not going to be all that hot defensively in center. Number two, he's coming off double heel surgery. There's going to be a question of how quick he is, whether he can cover the same ground. And they want to keep him healthy. There's a lot at stake for Newt. There's a lot at stake for the team. They might be able to, he might be a valuable trade chip. They don't want to do anything that would perhaps increase the injury risk. That would be stupid. So that ain't going to happen. So people need to stop talking about that. That ain't going to happen. Blaise Jordan, I don't believe, talking to some people in the organization, they like him a lot, but they very politely think they to pass along. It's like, well, we're not sure if he really can play third base. He can play it. He can stand there, but he's more of a first baseman. So if that's the case, he would not be a viable option at third base again, except for a kind of must need at a particular time, maybe the occasional start. So Baez is a guy where, he's close. They still want to see him cut down on a lot of the swings and misses. He has been reducing his strikeout rate, but he still whiffs too many times and he's missing on too many pitches inside the strike zone. And they want him to kind of like sharpen that part up where there's not as much whiff inside the strike zone, because that's one more thing he's got to work on. But he's close. He's getting close, and they're playing him in center field a lot. I think that tells us something.
Yeah, this is for a team that can't afford more strikeout guys in the lineup, at least I don't think they can. I don't know that you want to bring him up, because there's no way that percentage gets any better when he gets here. Like, he'll have to have figured that out before he gets to the big leagues, because these guys that he's facing will strike him out. They will find ways to do that because they're better. He's going to face better pitching up here. That's obvious. So I don't want to bring him up here too quickly. I do believe the Cardinals have probably learned their lesson with Jordan Walker, and we all wanted Walker to get called up right away. I remember advocating for it at the time, thinking, hey, the guy's done well. He's proven himself. Bring him up here, give him the ABs. And in hindsight, he was probably brought up here too early. Yeah. And so I think they want to be very, very careful with him. And I get that. I think that's the way they should do all this. And all of this is happening with, Victor Scott not performing. Defensively, he's going to be perfectly fine out there. I tend to agree with you on Nootbaar. I don't think you want to bring him back, because even if he's doing all these rehab assignment games, it's still a different speed than when you're playing center field in the big league. So I don't think they're going to do that to him. If this were a different season with Scott, I'd like to get your thoughts on this, both of you. Maybe you make a move quicker with him. Maybe you do something else because you're desperate. You need to stay in the division race. You need to stay in the wild card race. So you can't afford to let this season slip away. Maybe you're quicker to make a move with him, but I don't know that you need to do that here. I think that you can continue to have patience with him, unless somebody is forcing your hand and saying, you have got to bring this dude up right this second.
I hate to be too blunt, but there's nothing in his hitting profile that tells us he's getting better as a hitter. His contact is terrible. He doesn't hit the ball hard. He's got slow bat speed. The fact that they still want him to bunt all the time, and he's had relatively few hits that actually even travel to the outfield. There's just nothing there that jumps out. Oh, yeah, see, he's coming on. So I just don't see it. And I think they're coming to that conclusion because that's why they moved Baez to center field. And I wanted to follow up with something you said about that. There's a huge difference between Baez and Jordan Walker at a respective time. When Jordan Walker was rushed to the major leagues, first of all, he never played a position that they put him at. But he had a huge ground ball problem. Ground ball, ground ball, ground ball, ground ball. And they wanted him to elevate. They wanted him to get the launch angle. And he couldn't do it. He wasn't ready because he never got the training in the minor leagues. Baez, as Baseball America referred to him this week, and I quote, he is a launch angle monster. Like, he's basically got the perfect attack angle, launch angle. So will he strike out 30%, 32% of the time in the major leagues? Yeah, he will. But you know what? When he makes contact, his contact is like scary. It's frighteningly good. And the ball goes a long way because he has the launch angle thing down to perfection. And that took Jordan Walker like 3 years. This is his fourth year to kind of master that. So that's a huge difference between the two. I think the Cardinals or any manager, any team would live with a high strikeout rate as long as they're getting the slug and they're getting the home runs. It's a good trade-off.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a break here, but to me, the Cardinals have to figure out center field if they're going to be something even this year, if they're going to make a run. And Vic, of course, and who doesn't like Vic gliding through the outfield and making plays, and great guy and all, but you got to be able to get on base, first of all, with his speed, and you got to be able to hit, and he doesn't do either. And to me, it's pretty simple. Nootbaar plays in left. If Church is healthy, he starts in center. If he's not, it's Baez. That's how it's going to go. That's how I think it should go.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saligi Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We have Dustin May going tonight against a really good one. I think that Nathan Eovaldi, look, Jacob deGrom is one of the greats of his time, but I love this Nathan Eovaldi. He's pitched seven more or more innings in each of his last five starts. Think about that. Seven or more, and he is a workhorse, and no pitcher has thrown seven or more in six straight starts since Sandy Alcantara and Aaron Nola did it in 2022. I mean, this guy is a workhorse. I look over, Bernie, this Rangers rotation, and I wonder why this team isn't better. Gore, Leiter, DeGrom, Eovaldi, and Rocker. I mean, it's some big timers.
They're like in the top six or seven in terms of starting pitching ERA, quality starts. Rocker and Leiter, especially Rocker, have gotten kind of smacked around lately because they're still relatively young. But the Rangers are very good at preventing runs. Their bullpen is very good. This is one of the best run prevention teams in the majors because their pitching staff is so strong. But the problem is they've kind of been beaten up offensively. They've had some guys out. They've had some guys having down years. They haven't really coalesced offensively. But when they do, watch out because that pitching firepower can win them a lot of games. They just need some run support.
It's fascinating, too, because their division, they are in second place in the division with a record under 500. So that American League West is really, it's really something. It's almost the complete opposite of what the National League Central has been, where everybody is above 500 except for the last place team. So I think they should be better than this. We're only talking about a team that's, what, a couple of years removed from being in a World Series? So I'm a little surprised it's gone the way it has for them. This should be, what I'm really big picture here thinking about with the Cardinals is I don't want them to lose this one against Texas, but you've got the Reds coming back. They did not have a particularly good showing against Central teams. They need to get back on track there over the weekend. They just, with the way the division is going, it is there for the taking. They're going to have to start winning games against teams within it.
Yeah, no doubt. This is going to be an interesting month for the Cardinals and their front office and fans, and I don't know what's going to happen. Ooh, I got a confirmation. You ready for this? Guest tomorrow, 12:30, the one and only Pro Football Hall of Famer, Dan Dierdorf.
All right.
He'll be on the Gas House Gang at 12:30. He is going into the Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame on Friday. Yeah. And our KMOX's very own Dan Dierdorf will be with us, a great friend of Bernie Miklas, who is with us today. Yes. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you.
With Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks to Ollie Marmol on the Gas House Gang.